Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Glamour's Hey, It's OK podcast. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jo Elvin. I'm the editor-in-chief of Glamour. And today on the podcast, we're going to be talking about babies. Do you really have to care about holding your friend's baby? What's it like to have fake friends? Are they any better or worse than real friends? Is it really okay to have a fake friend? And do we really care about what we look like in the beach and whether or not that's okay? So strap in and get excited. It's Glamour's Hey, It's Okay. Today on the podcast, we are very excited to be joined by a special guest, a Strictly alumni, super talented, Ms. Louise Redknapp. Morning.
Hey, morning.
Well, I don't know when you're listening to this. It's morning for us. Quite early. Mm-hmm. And then today, Louise, we're joined by Glamour's managing editor, Ms. Lucy Jones.
Hello.
She's kind of my boss. I know everyone thinks I'm the boss, but Lucy tells me what to do on a daily basis.
Can't tell everybody that though, Jo.
Oh, it's true though. I quite like being told what to do.
Yeah, some days it makes life easier, right?
Yes.
It's kind of nice.
That's why I like Milan and Paris Fashion Week. I just get in the car.
Yep.
My only job is to get dressed and then sit in the car and then say, Joe, we're going here, here, here. And I go, okay.
But that, hang on, getting dressed for Fashion Week in Milan or Paris is a pretty intense thing to do. That would stress me out a lot.
It can be stressful.
Very.
Yeah, but that's why I'm going to admit, I have admitted this before, but it's really embarrassing. But I take pictures of my stuff and then just show it to one of the fashion editors and go,
see what they say.
Is everyone going to laugh at me if I wear this?
But you know what I always do? I think I'm looking great today and I'm loving it. And I walk out and I think I'm going to Fashion Week. And then I get there and I see everybody else's outfit and I hate the one I've got.
Yeah.
Or is that just a woman thing?
I do that. But then I console. Well, you're different. You're a celebrity. I console myself with the fact that no one is looking at me anyway.
Well,
so,
I don't know, Jo.
No, don't ruin it for me. Don't spook me. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's only if somebody wears something really outrageous, then everybody else talks about it for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And that's the honest to bitchy truth about what goes on. So as long as you're not wearing the thing.
The silly thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The silly thing.
I don't think, sometimes, I probably have done, but
yeah.
There's something to be said
for blending in though. I love it when my friends turn up in a similar colour and we go, oh, look, we're a girl band. And
yeah. Yeah. And then sometimes, sometimes at the shows, because now there's all the street photographers. And so I'm always like, have a really mixed feeling. Like you walk into a show and there's a barrage of photographers looking at you.
Yeah.
And you can see in their eyes, they're just going, oh, no. No, and then all their cameras drop and you think, oh God, my outfit's awful. Everybody hates my outfit. But then sometimes they do photograph you. And then I think, hang on a minute, they're only photographing the weird looking people. So
you can't win.
I know. So either way, I'm not happy with the photographer situation.
And also there's very few people in the world that look good in a picture walking.
Yeah.
I am not one of them.
Or stepping out, as the males say.
I'm not one of them. I always look slightly heavier than what I think I look in
my
own head, which is really concerning. And always always slightly awkward with the direction my feet are going in. So I've not got the walk-in for the street style photographers down yet.
Is this why you dance so much?
Dancing's easier. Yeah,
you should just sort of like do the Lindy hop down the your London Fashion Week little seat there. Yeah.
In the aisles at Tesco, just doing a little chasse.
Yeah, little New Yorker down the frozen aisle.
You'd definitely get on the sidebar of shame with that.
Oh, God, great.
Situation. Yeah,
I don't need that right now.
So how's it going? Tell us about Louise. Where are you in the world? What's floating your boat? What's happening?
So all good. I think Strictly for me, which was now finished a few months ago, opened up such a different kind of mindset on my career, which is lovely. And everybody does the show for different reasons.
Because I remember last time I saw you, I think, was the day before you started rehearsals. Mm-hmm. And you were... not to put too fine a point on it, shitting yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I
was.
Tell me about the journey.
I thought A, I'd never do it. B, I couldn't believe I'd said yes to doing it. And then I think the day before when we were speaking, it was there, it was happening, and it was very scary.
Yeah.
Just the thought of going and being so out of control of what you're going to be doing every week and how many people are going to be watching. And I think what it just did for me, it just took me back almost 20 years of being at school and loving performing, loving singing and dancing. And this industry can sweep you up and you go in whatever direction it takes you, because it's all about opportunities. When you're, you know, in the public eye, or you're in anything to do with show business, a lot of the time you get swept up and you take any opportunity that comes your way because you're not sure if there's going to be another opportunity. But for me, it was going back to what I actually went to stage school to do.
And I remember I thought it was really lovely and quite touching, really, that you sort of said to me, I've just devoted my life to so many other people now for quite a long time. And this is the first time I've been allowed to do something that's for me in quite a while.
Yeah. And do you know, being a mum and also being very aware of what people think and worried what your peers think and people you've worked with, I think I went into it very tentatively. And actually, it was a great thing for me. I was very selfish for 5 months because it takes every day. But I came out of it remembering that I love singing and I love dancing and I love performing. And it's been a long time since I recognised that. I think I just fitted in with any opportunity.
And when Jamie was a Strictly widow, were you sort of like, was there part of you thinking, yeah, now you know. Now you know what it's like.
Now you know. Well, it's when he says to me, I've been holding the fort. I'm kind of like, yeah, sort of, but with a lot of help. You know, I've always got everybody in place to lend a helping hand. But he was great. And I think it was really good for him to see how hard it is to be at home, making everything tick.
I guarantee, I'm a mum, it's definitely harder to stay at home. And I think some people feel patronised when you say that, but genuinely, I just think, I don't know, I love my daughter more than anything.
Yeah.
But it's so hard.
And it's actually really hard as a woman to admit that.
Yeah.
Because...
I'll admit it, Louise, I don't care.
I'm really pleased. Yeah. And I feel the same, and my boys and my world, but to be at home every day and just being their mum, as much as I love them, it isn't enough for me.
There's only so much Homes Under the Hammer that one can stand. For me, it's about 11 minutes on a good day.
That's too much.
Yeah.
It's self-sacrifice every day, isn't it? It's, you know, putting someone else first, everything you do. So
yes,
I can't imagine being in that post.
And you do it. And I think when you have really young children, you become sort of part of this baby bubble. And especially for me, I'd wanted my first son. It took me 4 years to have him. So I got completely swept up in, you know, feeling like I wanted to go to the farm and I wanted to do all these amazing things. But my boys are older now. Mm. And actually, as much as they love their mum, they don't really want to hang out with me.
It's no, they want to FaceTime their mates. Yeah,
they do their own thing. So, yeah, I definitely felt the need to spread my wings.
And so wing spreading, what's next? What's happening?
Wing spreading. I'd love to go into musicals, West End, tour, just anything that really gives me the opportunity to go back to basics and use some of that dancing I've learned and go back to singing.
What's your dream musical? Do you have one that you would say?
Oh, yeah, I have a few, actually. Mm. I think... the two that I'd love to do. Obviously, Chicago is a great, sexy, gorgeous Roxy. Musical.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And I love Cabaret. I think Sally Bowles is quite an iconic female role to play. But it's Wicked. I love it. I don't ever think I could hit that high note every week. That would be tough. I think for me, any opportunities like that now are what I'm getting my teeth into.
That's so exciting. I remember when I used to think musicals were the naffest thing ever, and I don't know what happened. I swallowed a chip or something, and now I can't get enough.
This is a confession. I don't know you know about me, Jo. I studied musical theatre.
Did you? Yes. I thought you were going to tell me you were Roxy in Chicago.
We did all the dancing, and do you know what? It just makes you feel good when you do that kind of dancing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I think like going back to the sort of Strictly thing as well, it's for a few hours, you don't think about anything else because all you can think about is what your feet are doing next and where your arms are going. And it's, even though it's stressful, it's an amazing way to shut off from any normality or reality.
Well, I can't wait to see you treading those boards again.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Now, what we're going to do now is we're going to dive deep into the sort of issues that we talk about in Glamour Features meetings. And we need, Louise, we need your wisdom.
Okay.
We think you're cleverer than us. And you've lived a life.
give it a go, Jo.
Okay, Louise, now you don't have to agree with me on this at all. This is it's a heated debate, which we love. But, you know, we solve all the world's problems in this very glamour pod cupboard. Magic pod cupboard of authority.
Yes.
So, is it okay, Louise Redknapp, Lucy Jones, to have no interest whatsoever in holding that baby, that friend's puppy, that cat, whatever, choose whatever you like, actually?
Okay, so don't hate me.
Oh my
God. Don't hate me.
Something big's about to be
don't
said.
Hate me. Yeah, I'm not a lover when someone hands me a baby. I don't quite know. I kind of feel that I'm being a bit fake going, oh yeah, they're gorgeous. They're lovely.
There
really
is.
I'm just thinking, you can have it back now.
Yeah.
Don't you know, like you do the kind of rocking back and forth and you're thinking, I would be more inclined to want to hold a dog.
I think for me, it's I love babies. I love puppies. Cats,
maybe
up and down. But I'm a real wet person. I'm like, yes, you know, someone I've never met before in my life walks in now with their baby and wants me to hold it, I'm there. Totally. Go and have a walk around M&S. I will do. I think because I only had one and I missed the baby. But what I do resent is the assumed interest that people assume that you're completely fascinated with their baby or their puppy. That is, oh God, that annoys me.
And I've definitely been that mum who thinks that their baby is the most beautiful baby in the world. Absolutely. And it's only when your kids grow up and other people around you start thinking their babies are the best babies in the world that you think, mine definitely wasn't like yours isn't.
Yeah, but it's the same people who, I have a friend who has a friend who she'll put a picture up of her child. And then my friend will get a call like 20 minutes later saying, so why haven't you liked that picture?
God.
It's that mentality. Ooh. It's that, you know, there's literally nothing you could possibly be interested in any more than my child.
And also, this is going really low, but when you're out at lunch with your friends and because you know your friend hasn't eaten a meal without holding a baby for the last 6 months, you feel you should offer.
Yeah.
And then they leave the baby with you for 45 minutes.
Starters,
main course and dessert. And you're just thinking.
And that baby's screaming because it doesn't want you. It wants its mum.
Are you buying lunch in
my food?
Yeah. You should definitely make them pay in that circumstance,
yeah, absolutely.
I think. Well, I find it's worse with puppies. Give me a baby. That's fine. I love babies. I'll hold any baby. But I think the most stigma I've received is for not liking dogs that much. People think I'm evil.
That is weird.
Yeah. I worry about people that don't like dogs. Worry.
No. I think because I love dogs like more than most people.
Do you know what most people do?
And so that's why I don't get it. Really don't. Sorry.
If someone doesn't like a dog or dogs, I actually kind of, you know, I'm kind of really shocked.
This is the stigma I'm talking about.
Really shocked. Are you feeling awful right now?
We're not making Lucy feel any better.
No, I'm trying. I think it's a much more malleable trait if I start liking dogs. So, I don't hate them.
So have you met my dog?
Okay.
So did you think, oh, Christ, it's the boss's dog. I've got to pretend
The dog comes in the office, I'm like, you know, hi, how you doing?
Yeah.
go over there now.
See, I would cross a road to see a certain dog.
Me
if
too.
If someone's got a bulldog or something that is a real character dog, I will cross a road, randomly say to the person, can I stroke your dog? Like, yeah.
See, I wouldn't do that with a baby, though, just to be clear. It's not like I love babies, so I'd be like, hi, baby, across the street. But yeah, I just don't get it.
Are you frightened of them or they just leave you indifferent?
I did get bitten by one on a bike when I was a kid.
There
but,
you go.
And then I had one and I quite liked him. I quite like them, but I just don't really care.
Yeah. That's all right.
Yeah. No, I'm very passionate about dogs.
So many people are. It's like it is that kind of, what? You don't like
And
dogs?
I actually miss my dogs when I'm
More than your
on
children.
Holiday. I'd say it's on a par.
No. But the thing is, I feel like my dog is one of my children.
Yeah, so do I. So. My dog's a part of my family. And we all miss the dogs. I mean, I got to a stage where going on holiday for more than 10 days was stressful because of the dogs.
But I wouldn't, you know, if someone didn't particularly want to hold my dog, I wouldn't be like, well, why don't you want to hold it?
No.
Why?
But
What's
they
going
do
on?
With babies. Yeah. They get offended if you don't want to hold a baby.
No, I don't. I never used to get offended by that because I think some people are really, particularly women who haven't had children and aren't at that stage yet.
Can they just be nerves.
They don't feel maternal. They don't feel like they're going to drop it. I'd rather you just didn't risk dropping it than politely took my child.
Holding it.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's okay or not.
I think it's two or three out of, if you hated holding babies, dogs and kittens, you're evil.
Yeah.
But if you can deal with one, I think maybe that's okay.
You heard that, Glamour podcast listeners, so I hope that's not you because I don't think you're evil, but Lucy definitely does.
Yeah, nor me, so don't hate on me.
We are so loving reading your reviews. And I know it must just sound like we just read the positive ones, but we've only had positive ones, haven't we? Be my witness, Kat and Lucy.
Absolutely.
But, you know, you can tell us anything you like, but we love the compliments and we love your email, Katie Louise K. I'm 3 months into my first grad job, which is a role I love. However, I have a 1 hour commute each way to the office. Oh my God, I used to do that, Katie. I sympathize. 10 hours driving a week listening to the same old radio shows was getting pretty boring until I discovered Hey It's Okay, the first podcast I've ever listened to, and not to be dramatic or anything, but it's changed my life. We love that. Oh, Katie, that so deserves a present from me. If you email me at editor@glamourmagazine.co.uk, we will sort you out well and proper. Is it okay, Louise Redknapp, veteran of showbiz, that, you know, that very deep and meaningful and genuine industry, is it okay to have fake friends? Friends who, you know, I have friends who I know are probably only friends with me because of my job. And I think as long as I know that, I don't particularly care. I think it's fine.
I think everybody, no matter what job you're in, actually has fake friends. Mm. I think in this particular business, it's maybe more, you know, in a bigger abundance than if you just kind of work and you've worked with the same people maybe for 14 years or something. And I agree with you. I think it's okay to have fake friends as long as you know, like, knowledge is power.
Yeah.
If you know where you stand with that person, like, I have friends in my life that have been my friends since I was 10, 11 years of age. They're still my friends. And now, again, not very often as you get older, you meet a friend that you think, okay, this is a genuine, real friendship. But I think it happens few and far between.
Mm. Exactly.
When you get past a certain age.
Because you just get too busy to actually
invest.
Exactly.
Invest time in friendships. And also, you know, everybody likes to get something from someone in one way or another. And with old friends, there's none of that because you've been friends since you were kids and it doesn't matter. But I think as you go on in life, you meet people and you feed off of each other.
But sometimes I find it liberating to have those people who, you know, it's quite surface. You know that you're going out for a drink and to have a laugh. Sometimes it's something quite liberating that they don't know everything about you.
Yeah.
And it is kind of, no, these on the Venn diagram, here are the people I've compartmentalized who I just go and have a giggle with.
Yeah.
And here are the people who know all my secrets and I can be my ugly, true, warts and all self with.
Absolutely.
And I don't know. I kind of like that I've got little universes that way.
And I don't think you feel guilty with fake friends. I think you can go out and you can, you know, maybe, like you say, just have fun. They're your friends to laugh with and then you go home.
That's
and if you don't speak for a week, it's okay.
Yeah.
But that's my question. What are you getting out of these fake friends? What's enjoyable about knowing them?
To give you an example of what made me think about this is there's a friend I know. I can't be too specific because this person might know who I'm talking about. But it's, you know, and another friend said to me, you know, I'd watch her. I just think she's only talking to you because you're the editor of Glamour and she can get this, this, and this. And I was thinking, I know that, but she really makes me laugh. I really have a good time with her. And I don't feel guilty then if I need something from her in quite a calculated way.
It's a two-way street.
Yeah, I think as long as fake friends is a two-way street, I think as long as they give you enough that they make you feel good and you enjoy their company. And then I quite like it in the fact, like, my real old true friends that I love and cherish, you know, they're of a concern to me. If they're not happy, I'm worried about them.
Yeah.
I ring them up daily to check in, or they would do the same for me if I'm not in a good place. You become, it's almost like a bit of a family unit where you go through the bad, the good and the ugly. But I think with fake friends, it is just purely surface.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's just about a few tequila shots on a night out, nice times, goodbye, maybe see you in 3 weeks' time to do this all again.
I was going to say 3 months. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And you expect nothing from anybody. And if you do expect anything, it is all surface. So it might be, can I get tickets to Glamour? That would be great. And then in return, oh, actually, you could do something for me. But it's an even friendship.
And, you know, I just think as long as you have a vague self-awareness that I know that there are people, if I was frog marched out of the building at Glamour tomorrow, I know there are people who would probably not want to speak to me particularly again. I have a friend, quite famous friend in showbiz, who was quite shocked to find that they weren't on speed dial for certain people that they thought they were when their circumstances changed. I think as long as you're aware of the difference between a real friend
and it depends and on the type of person you are. I'm a bit of a heart on my sleeve person, and I think it's most probably my biggest fault in life, because whatever I give, I expect back, and 9 times out of 10 get a little bit disappointed because it doesn't always come
back.
That's
why I think I'm too emotional. I chewed the friendship fat, so to speak, in my early 20s. I just can't handle those people that, you know, if there's nothing really more there than just a few laughs, I can't really handle it.
But, well, I respect that. But I also think, Louise, I love that perspective. It's like, I'm used to giving. But I think if you can get to a point where you're giving what you know makes you be able to sleep at night as a good person, then you don't care as much about what you do or don't get back anyway. It doesn't always necessarily have to be a transaction.
And that's definitely a lesson in life I'm learning every day, that don't take everything to heart. You know, if I want to wear my heart on my sleeve and give whatever I can to friends, and that's fine, but as long as you expect nothing back, and anything you do get back is a bonus.
That's kind of I think I'm probably the same.
I'm working on it.
Working on it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, ladies, the perennial favorite one to discuss. Is it okay to actually really care what you look like on the beach?
I really want to, but I think I would care more if I looked better.
That's an interesting perspective. Yeah. I need elaboration on that.
Well, I think if I look like a supermodel, I'd be like, hey guys, this is me, I'm a supermodel. But I don't, so I sort of go with this, oh, you know, it's fine, I'm cuddly and it's nice. We don't really care. We're about more than just looks, aren't we? And whoever I'm talking to, whoever I'm with.
I think if I look like a supermodel, I'd care less. I'd be less self-conscious.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I do? I do that awful thing of not wanting to look like the person that's made an effort to go to the beach. Mm. But really, I've spent a huge amount of time trying to look like I don't care what I look like.
Oh, come on. I've seen you on those travel ads.
yeah, a lot went into that. A lot went into those travel ads. But I do. I sort of put my cut-off shorts and a cool T-shirt and I think, oh, I'm not going with the expensive kaftan and the expensive, you know, flip-flops. I'm going, but really the denim shorts and the T-shirt has been very well thought out.
The thing that's really annoying me is I thought that I was looking forward to reaching what I sort of call the invisible mum age, where you're just another mum on the beach and no one really cares, no one's looking at you, no one, you're just some mum on the beach. And I am just some mum on the beach, but I still feel quite self-conscious about being on the beach. When does it end?
I don't think it ever ends because I've actually had, depending on where we go on holiday, for 2 years when we went to Barbados, I didn't go to the beach. I sat on the wall.
No.
Because I was so stressed about getting pictured on the beach and not looking
good. Well, I think that, I mean, it's a different... It's a whole other layer for somebody in your position because I no one's going to pat me on the beach.
Well, I do a lot of standing still if I'm on the beach. Breathing
just in case.
Just standing there.
Oh, because you can't walk.
Don't want to be shot walking, never a good look. And also, if I stand there and breathe in, it's always better than sitting down or getting up and down off of an uncomfortable lounger.
What a way to live, almost like this omnipresent threat.
Do you ever do the Kardashian, I'm halfway in the beach, I'm looking over my shoulder and here's my butt
that
poking
That never
out.
Happens to me. I'm the one who the wave would come over, take me out entirely.
That happens
maybe
to me.
Maybe drown, possibly.
My evil husband and daughter still talk about the time I went kayaking in Cornwall and they both were sort of like on the shore watching me and it got to the point where I had to get out. And just as I was about to get out, they said it was hilarious because we could see it and you couldn't. This massive wave came and knocked the kayak sideways. I sort of like went face first onto the gravel on the beach.
And
the whole beach laughed.
There are some people that can pull all of that off. They pull beach off brilliantly. Yeah. It's the same as pulling the red carpet off. For me, it's the same, slightly scary, I'm not going to pull the beach off.
More clothes and makeup on the red carpet,
more
though.
More clothes, exactly. Well, maybe not 20 years ago for me.
But I think you have to underdo it on the beach. I try my very hardest to say, right, this is my natural self. This is me with a few freckles poking out in the sun. This is me with wet hair. And like, I try to embrace the natural look on the beach. I think those people that do it up, I don't know how they maintain it.
I could never do my hair and makeup on the beach. No. I mean,
it's too hot.
I've got a ponytail and... I have, lots of freckles that appear after an hour.
But have you really had the experience of seeing a paparazzi picture of yourself on the beach and thinking, oh my God, that's it, I'm never going to the beach again?
Absolutely.
Really?
And it was about 2 years ago. And we were in St. Bart's, we were there with friends, and we went to a private little kind of beach. There was two other people on this beach. It was tiny, tiny, tiny. I never walk around on the beach. I'm always very careful in what I do, just in case, because, I don't feel confident enough to just strut around the beach.
I just can't bear the idea of constantly thinking there might be somebody looking at me now.
I saw not a soul. So I'm sitting on the edge of the, my legs in. I'm thinking, if there is someone around, I'm sat down, I'm breathing in, I've got a swimming costume on, I'm not standing up, and then I'll just kind of go... like move myself, like sort of shuffle back into the water and go and get back on the boat. And I, not lying to you, the biggest wave dragged me under. The swimming costume was down.
Oh my.
It kept dragging me under. So, and I had this moment of, shall I drown or stand up? I'm going to drown.
Wow.
And everyone was laughing. All our friends were laughing, but genuinely, I could not stand up. The waves underneath kept taking me under. In the end, where Jamie had to come and literally, with one of his friends, grab me and pull me out. Top was down, awful. And of course, there was a photographer out somewhere. And after that, I thought, I'm never going on the beach again. That was just the worst. Not only did I nearly die, it is for everyone to see. And I think the headline was Louise Rednips.
Oh, that's got to be the sun.
Well done to the subs on, you know, on spinning, you know, a bit of wit out of really quite traumatic situation.
I can laugh at it now, but at the time it was mortifying.
So I just think it's, what does that do to your mental health if you're actually in a place where you're thinking, should I stand up or drown?
Yeah, it's awful.
But it's, should I care what I look like on the beach or should I die? That's the option.
That was my option, that particular
I'm glad you chose
day.
To
yeah, stood up.
To not die.
And the nation saw one boob, but hey.
Look, I didn't see that picture, but I'm sure you
can
got
we not
nice
Google
boobs.
It? Please don't Google yeah. it. Promise me, because I'm really worried that now I've spoken
I'm
about
gonna
it,
Google
everyone's going to be like, okay, Louise Rednips.
No, I'm going to respect your privacy at this difficult time.
Thanks.
So Louise, I'm so glad you're still alive. I'm so glad that meant you could come on Glamour Hey It's Okay. I look forward to seeing more of you up on the West End stage. And also in the meantime, do have a look at, you can tell me all the social handles, but your style blog, A Style Album, is so lovely. And as you know, I shop regularly from it.
Yeah, A Style Album. It's a fashion lifestyle blog. I think we sort of have a mutual love for certain designers that we always talk about, as in Mira McCatty. I do it with one of my bestest friends. It's a hobby that's turned into a job, and it just celebrates women and fashion, and you can shop, you can all different things.
And it's clothes that don't have holes in rude places, or you know, that you can sort of like dress up or wear to the school run, and that's what I like about
it. It's all accessible, so it's real good, kind of, you know, good hearty fashion. So we're not playing the mumsy kind of card of, you know, let's all be really totally comfortable, but at the same time it's things that we do really wear. So it's kind of back to basics in fashion items that are really good to invest in, and different ways of wearing them, nighttime, daytime, still looking sort of super cool and really going with what all the real kind of style setters are doing, but doing it in a way that works for real life.
It's good hearty fashion, like the lady says.
Yeah, good hearty fashion.
Thank you so much, Louise Rednap, and thank you, Lucy Jones, and thank you for listening, everybody.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.